Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
So this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I'm very mixed emotions today because of some revelations that are coming out, some of which I desperately hope are not true. On the other hand, a whole lot of fake news stories we knew were fake news are being confirmed. Here's one, for example. It was all planned. Tactical commander for U.S. Capitol Police admits under oath that agitators who were highly trained ripped down fencing prior to the protests at the U.S. Capitol on January 6. We've known for 2 years numerous federal operatives were involved in the January 6, 2021 protests. On Sunday night, Julie Kelly from American Greatness, along with several J6 prisoners, conservative reporters, J6 family members, and even liberal trolls joined in the J6 Truth Exposed Twitter space hosted by the Gateway Pundit. The Gateway Pundit, by the way, is one of our most reliable sources about political developments in the United States. Really, truly excellent. During the discussion, author and investigative reporter Julie Kelly dropped a bomb from J6 defendant Richard Barnett's jury trial last week. Julie discussed new evidence she wrote about in her latest column. Captain Carnachea Mendoza, a tactical commander for U.S. Capitol Police at the time, admitted under oath last week that a group of agitators who were highly trained destroyed security barriers and lured people to Capitol grounds that day. In other words, it was a come on. It was a bait and switch. It was a con game taking place where the Capitol Police were orchestrating, and we know under the command and control of Nancy Pelosi, in coordination with the FBI and Antifa. I reported before how John, the brother of James Sullivan, explained how his brother had led 226 Antifa members dressed as Trump supporters into the Capitol. This is something we reported on before. who were the mysterious people who arrived early at the Capitol and took down all the fencing and barriers while Donald Trump was still talking at the Ellipse a mile away. Julie Kelly reported. Captain Carnicea Mendoza, tactical commander for the U.S. Capitol Police at the time, testified Wednesday. A group of agitators destroyed security barriers and lured people to the Capitol grounds that afternoon. Defense Counsel Brad Gayer, this is now a partial transcript from the court proceeding. Isn't it true that you had a lot of people, a large quantity of people, walking down two streets that dead-ended at the Capitol, Mendoza? Yes, sir. Gayer, and would it be fair to say that at least some of the leading edges of that crowd, they contained bad people or provocateurs? Is that fair? Mendoza, it's fair. Dangerous people, Mendoza, yes. Violent people, Mendoza, yes. Highly trained, violent people, Mendoza, yes. Highly trained, violent people who work and coordinate together, Mendoza, yes. It was a stunning admission, representing the first time a top law enforcement official stated under oath, to my knowledge, that a coordinated, experienced group of agitators engaged in much of the mischief early that day. Under further questioning, Mendoza acknowledged those same individuals pushed through barriers, removed barriers, threw barriers over the side, removed fencing, and eased the flow of people into places where they shouldn't be. This happened around 1 p.m. The same time the joint session of Congress convened to debate the results of the 2020 presidential election. Actually, to be more precise, they were going to discuss evidence of election fraud, where Pelosi had very cleverly coordinated this should occur in such a way as to disrupt that discussion so she could falsely claim it was intended to disrupt the counting of the Electoral College votes. And I'd observe at 1 p.m., Donald Trump was still speaking at the Ellipse. He didn't finish until, as I recall, 1:11, and it was a mile and a half away. So those had been there at the Ellipse with Donald Trump for his last admonition to them before concluding his speech was to be peaceful in their protest, which, of course, had been confirmed by the last two Twitter tweets he put out about observing the law, being peaceful in your protest, that we are a nation of law and order, all of which the Democrats have grossly distorted or just simply outright suppressed. I mean, these are scum. These people are the scum of the earth. Hiding the pivotal role of still unidentified and uncharged agitators on January 6th is just one reason why the government has successfully sought to conceal thousands of hours of footage captured by the Capitol Police security system before, during, and after the protest. There is now evidence that dozens of federal operatives were involved in the 2021 January 6th protests on Capitol Hill. The Gateway Pundit has reported on this for over 2 years now, including evidence of at least 12 incidents involving dozens of federal agents working inside the crowd on January 6th. Let me add now, Matt Gaetz and Kevin McCarthy have been very eager to release 14,000 of hours of video from what happened on January 6th. Evidently because they showed the police brutality in beating up those who were attempting to peacefully protest, which included killing one or more of them. We know that for a fact. So Pelosi has now, as her last act, arranged for these videotapes to be secured at the National Archives for 60 years. You know, that's very much like the Warren Commission, why all those supporting documents, which actually contradict the official narrative, to be secured for 75 years. because that's the average lifetime of an American. So they're seeking to ensure that no one who was alive at the time of the assassination of JFK would be there to read the supporting documents and confirm the fact that they are completely incoherent with regard to the official narrative of a lone, demented gunman firing three lucky shots from the sixth floor of the book depository building, where we know today that Lee Oswald was actually standing in the doorway of the book depository building when the JFK motorcade passed by. Which means not only can he not have been the lone, demented gunman, but he cannot have been one of the what we have now identified as eight different shooters. I've identified six by name, rank, serial number, where they were located, the shots they took, and the effects they had. Only Damagard has identified the seventh, with which I agree, and where only one remains, and he's a shooter who's located at the south knoll, in other words, the grass opposite what's known as the grassy knoll, where there's a single tree. No one would believe there was actually room there, how you could possibly camouflage yourself. But I have, as I have previously reported, observed, seen two different photographs from two different JFK experts showing the rifleman standing holding his rifle. These are two different photographs confirming his presence. Now, when I say eight, it turns out that corresponds to the sponsors. We got a CIA shooter. We got a Joint Chiefs military shooter. We got an anti-Castro Cuban shooter. We got a mafia shooter. We have a Texas oilman shooter. We have an Israeli shooter. We have Lyndon Baines Johnson's own personal hitman, Malcolm Mac Wallace, who murdered a dozen people for Lyndon, including his own sister. Where by a process of elimination, I infer that the shooter we haven't identified represent the Fed, the Eastern establishment surrounding the Fed. Because Jack wanted to shatter the CIA into 1,000 pieces. He'd refused to invade Cuba against unanimous recommendation of the Joint Chiefs. He'd signed an above-ground test ban treaty with the Soviet Union against their unanimous opposition. Now he was pulling all of our forces out of Vietnam, where he believed we should not be present, but the chief felt that Jack had become an enemy, an obstacle in their fight against the expansion of international godless communism, largely based on a domino theory that if Vietnam fell, then Cambodia, then Laos, and, you know, Indonesia, the Philippines. It was nonsense. The Vietnamese were fiercely nationalistic. They weren't remotely under the influence of Red China. It was, I believe, the design of Henry Kissinger to promote this myth, the domino theory, as to why the United States should be present in Vietnam. One of the only bona fide explanations I've ever seen was in a half-hour report by Robert Cronkite, as I recall, in 1968. Where he offered a map of the continental shelf off of Vietnam and how the big international oil companies had already subdivided as to which of them would have take possession for drilling rights. That's the only explanation I've ever had that made any sense as to why we were in Vietnam. It was oil, stupid. Then we had a mafia shooter. We had a CIA guy who turned out to be a very nasty piece of work. He indeed posed for the backyard photographs. He was a body double. Lee had said it was someone else's body with his face pasted on, and he'd be able to prove it with time. Well, we have been able to prove it. Jim Mars and I co-authored an article about it, identified the player because of a funny bump on his right wrist where a bone had not properly healed. Larry Rivera has confirmed our find. An anti-Castro Cuban, Lyndon Johnson, personal hitman. These were the parties, an Israeli shooter. I mean, I'm telling you, these were the parties who wanted Jack out and Lyndon in primarily for reasons of policy. He was going to cut the oil depletion allowance. The anti-Castro Cuban felt Jack had betrayed them at the Bay of Pigs. I mean, it's quite a story that I've outlined many, many places. One of the best is with Jeremy Neal of South Africa. Look for Germ, J-E-R-M, Warfare. I believe it's actually on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Check it out if you want more on JFK. Here's more alarming evidence that January 6th was intensely planned. Just this past August, an article in India, Commissioner Bernie, former New York Police Department Commissioner Bernie Carrick claimed that Democrats might attempt to assassinate former President Trump if the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago does not result in criminal charges against him. He further added, the Democrats have exhausted all options to stop him from running for the office again in 2024. Please note that although this is in reference to the Mar-a-Lago incident, it does portray the Democrats' feelings about Trump very well. Note two, the emphasis is on stopping him from running in 2024, something foremost in their little minds, as can be emphasized by the many stories where they show they are deathly afraid of him because of the success he has had in turning the American people against their evil plans of the U.S. becoming a third world nation under the control of a satanic organization of world domination. Continuing with a Carrick quote, Carrick said, if you remember back in 2016, right before he was elected, I was in Washington, D.C. at a couple of different social events, and I heard people talking. They said the Democrats want this guy so bad they wouldn't put assassination past them. And I'm going to tell you something. They've tried impeachment. They tried another impeachment. They tried one investigation after another. He further added, this is about one thing. This is about stopping him from running in 2024. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not into conspiracies. I'm not into anti-government rhetoric. This is the first time in my lifetime that I would say I am deathly afraid of Donald Trump, meaning for Donald Trump. I would not put assassination behind these people. Take a moment to let that sink in. Here's a more former New York City police commissioner, not just a rookie cop, not some bum on the street, but someone with real world experience, highly trained in law enforcement and reading people in their moods, warning us the Democrats want to stop Trump so badly they may even resort to assassination. Even in the second year of Trump's reign as president, a story in the Daily Beast reiterated this notion when they spouted that Fox News guest host Kevin Jackson said he hopes the Senate Judiciary Committee presses Deputy FBI Chief Andrew McCabe on whether certain texts point to a specific intent, whether it was an assassination attempt or whatever. A stunned host, Harris Faulkner, he thought, whoa, whoa. But Jackson pressed on. I'm just saying, we don't know what it was. When the texts say, we got to make sure this guy doesn't get in at all costs, what does that mean? This in relation to the idea that the FBI plotted to kill Donald J. Trump. Do you remember the campaign ad for Illinois Senator Sandoval? Where he staged a simulation of assassinating President Trump? Why was that not reason for his imprisonment and prosecution for threatening the life of a sitting president? You remember, too, how they suppressed information about the Hunter Biden laptop. And now there was a letter signed by some 51 former Intel officials. I don't know if any were still current. Possibly so. Claiming this had all the signs of Russian disinformation. Another political ploy. Get this. It had to be real. Intel official who signed infamous letter discrediting Hunter Biden laptop story makes stunning omission. Stunning admission. One of the former intelligence officials who signed the infamous letter used to exonerate Hunter Biden in the court of public perception admitted in a recent interview that he signed the letter despite believing the laptop was mostly authentic. After the New York Post broke the Hunter Biden laptop story just weeks before the 2020 presidential election, Democrats and the media rushed to claim that the story and its timing were characteristic of a Russian disinformation campaign. Specifically, the media pushed a letter signed by more than 50 former Intel officials to discredit the laptop story. The letter claimed the story had all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. If we are right, the letter went on to say, this is Russia trying to influence how Americans vote in the election. And we believe strongly that Americans need to be aware of this. Douglas Wise, a former CIA operations officer and former Defense Intelligence Agency deputy director, admitted that most of the letter's signatory believed a significant portion of the laptop story was authentic at the time they discredited it. All of us figure that a significant portion of that content had to be real to make any Russian disinformation credible, Wise told The Australian on Sunday. Like other Intel officials who signed the letter, Wise defended it by claiming it did not necessarily say what the media claimed. Quote, the letter said it had the earmarks of Russian deceit and that we should consider that as a possibility. It did not say Hunter Biden was a good guy. It didn't say what he did was right. And it wasn't exculpatory, it was just a cautionary letter. That, of course, is all done with clear intent. They knew how the media was spinning. They knew the effect it would have. That was why they did it. In fact, Wise refused to display contrition for helping drive a narrative that was false. He told the news outlet, I don't regret signing it, and pointed to Rudy Giuliani allegedly visiting Ukraine to dig up evidence on the Bidens. He also said the chain of custody issues surrounding the laptop hard drive cast some doubt on its authenticity. Russians or even ill-intended conservative elements could have planted stuff in there, Wise claimed. Hunter remains under federal investigation for alleged tax crimes and for purportedly lying on a federal form when he purchased a firearm. Let me say about this, and of course the documents case, which is now backfiring on Biden rather substantially, where it looks as though even sympathetic to Democrat websites are attacking Biden now. It looks as though they're prepared to throw him under the bus. Remember, there are major differences here between these two cases. Trump, as president, had declassification authority. He had a standing order that if he took any documents with him from the office, they were automatically declassified. He had that authority. He had a safe, a special secure safe at Mar-a-Lago that was even approved by the National Archives, of which the FBI was aware. None of this was true for Biden. And when you have half-wits, like on The View, they're trying to suggest this whole Hunter Biden classified doc is some kind of Republican conspiracy. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Biden, as vice president, did not have declassification authority. They were found at four different locations, none of which were secure. He didn't have the proper facilities. And the fact that he said it was in his locked garage along with his Corvette is just a vote. Satire. One is a photograph inside the garage where he got a Chinese communist official pouring through boxes of these docs that are in the Corvette. And Hunter says, I want to take it for a spin, Dad. And there's Biden in the door to his garage. How ridiculous. So, anyone who tells you that these are cases are not comparable, they're apples and oranges, actually has it right. Except they're trying to tell you that the Trump case was more serious than Biden, but that's wrong. It's exactly the opposite. And what's really truly remarkable is that the effort being made to try to protect Biden, it's inexcusable. Let me just spend a minute on The View because it's so ridiculous. On Thursday, it was reported a second set of classified documents Biden took when he became VP were found in his garage. The co-host of ABC's The View discussed how the docs appeared, what conspiracy theories they had. Some suggested the Republicans were behind the scenes looking for the documents. I think even suggesting they were planted. Joy Behar, one of the hosts, said the documents looked incredibly appropriate. She noted Donald Trump was the only person who had a better chance of being elected than Biden. She also claimed these documents came out at a time when the Democrats were close to securing the presidential nomination. Other hosts were a bit anxious as well, but co-host Behar tried to calm them down. She noted one of the most frustrating things about the situation is that documents had already been spawned in a certain way. She would like to see an explanation. Well, more to come when we return from this break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Shifting gears, developments on the COVID front. Two stories that are both distressing but in completely different ways. One of which, if true, virtually breaks my heart. I'll explain. First, we have the NHS director in the UK confirming hospitals lied about the cause of death to create the illusion of a COVID pandemic. Before COVID, four types of pneumonia added together were the highest cause of death in the UK. In a newly implemented medical examiner system to certify deaths, the medical examiner was certifying all types of pneumonia deaths as COVID-19 deaths, a former director of end-of-life care has said. On Saturday, Tsai, a former NHS director of end-of-life care, wrote a Twitter thread which, amongst other things, gave a personal account of the changes to the system of reporting details implemented in the NHS. When four different diseases are grouped and now being called COVID, you will inevitably see COVID with a huge death rate. The mainstream media was reporting on this huge increase in COVID deaths due to the medical examiner system being in place. Patients being admitted and dying with very common conditions such as old age, myocardial infraction, end-stage kidney failure, hemorrhages, strokes, COPD, and cancer were all now being certified as COVID via the medical examiner system. Hospitals were switching to and from the medical examiner system and the pandemic system, and as and when they pleased. When COVID deaths needed to be increased, the hospital would switch to the medical examiner system that was consolidating all these various causes of death as though they were all COVID. In addition, hospitals were incentivized to report COVID deaths over normal deaths, as the government was paying hospitals additional money for every COVID death that was being reported. I have no doubt in my mind, said Tsai, that the government had planned the entire pandemic in 2016 when they first proposed a change to medical death certification. Here's the killer for me, politically. Ivanka Trump admits her father's administration partnered with Moderna to produce mRNA vaccine before Operation Warp Speed. Now, let me say, I'm hoping against hope this might not be true, but I'm sorry to acknowledge that circumstantial evidence suggests to me this might be right. Mike Adams reported it on Natural News on Wednesday. Official government documents show that messenger RNA, mRNA vaccines were in development long before Donald, father of the vaccine Trump, officially launched Operation Warp Speed on May 15, 2020. And his daughter Ivanka admitted this in a tweet from later in the year that many seem to have missed. In other words, Ivanka was already tweeting back in 2020. A public-private partnership involving both the government and the private sector started funneling resources into the development of COVID injections on January 13th, 2020. Ivanka tweeted on November 16th, 2020. She wrote, fact check, this Moderna NIH vaccine is literally the one that President at Real Donald Trump partnered with Moderna to create on January 13th, 2020. I repeat, January 13th, 2020. Just be happy. This is great news for America and for the world. That's Ivanka tweeting. Maybe she thought at the time this was going to enhance a public appreciation for her father's efforts. That great news, Mike Adams continues, ultimately led to tens of millions of vaccine injuries and deaths, and counting, around the world. But the real kicker here is what Ivanka admitted. COVID vaccines were already in development before the first confirmed case of COVID was even announced on January 20th, 2020. Remember, she repeated, he partnered with Moderna on January 13th, a week before the first confirmed case of COVID was announced on January 20th, 2020, a week before. So apparently, taking Ivanka at her word, this seems to be a rather big fly in the ointment concerning the development of the mRNA vaccines, that the Trump administration was already aware of the mRNA technology, the development of the shots, in a partnership with Moderna that was already in place an entire week before the first reported case of COVID was confirmed, January 20th, 2020. However, many people did not seem to truly acknowledge and comprehend what Ivanka was admitting, but rather blasted her and Donald for essentially knowing about the threat of the virus, but choosing not to alert people sooner, attributing hundreds of thousands of deaths to Trump's perceived carelessness. Thus, we have the question, how long ago did COVID vaccine development really begin, and how long has Donald Trump really been involved? Several large disbursements of cash were made after January 20, 2020, including a $483 million grant made to Moderna on April 16th, and a $456 million grant to Johnson & Johnson on March 30th. Before that, though, and before the first confirmed COVID case, Donald Trump was working with Moderna to unleash mRNA jabs. Once again, the argument that was sparked on Twitter between Ivanka and her father's haters centered around the wrong issue. While they fought about who should receive credit for Operation Warp Speed, many overlooked the fact that Donald Trump was involved in COVID vax development before COVID even emerged at the United States. But these tweets, and more beside the point and much grander scheme of it all, it means these vaccines were not developed at warp speed, as the administration claims. The Trump admin was already prepping for a pandemic in advance before 2020. In 2019, Donald Trump initiated what was called Crimson Contagion, a pandemic simulation event identical to the likes of the infamous Event 201 simulation that prophesied a deadly and highly infectious new coronavirus to sweep the globe, where many of the measures practiced in advance came to pass. That Crimson Contagion event culminated with Trump signing an executive order on September 19, 2019, before the very first cases of COVID even ever appeared anywhere in the world, allowing for new influenza vaccine to be developed, so-called flu shots that look oddly like COVID injections. For the record, Moderna, in a press release, confirmed what Ivanka tweeted, that mRNA COVID vaccination were being developed before the first known case of COVID arrived in the U.S. And before that, the Obama regime prepared the way for this by investing and aiding in mRNA research. Now, in my opinion, this is simply devastating. Devastating. I mean, just stunning. And we know the horrors that have been inflicted by the vax. Now, in my opinion, Donald Trump has such a powerful connection with the American people that there's no way his enemies can do him in. They've tried. Look at what Bernie Kerik was reporting. Two impeachments, January 6th, all kinds of investigations, releasing his tax return, Mar-a-Lago raid. None of it has significantly affected his support. I personally regard the attacks upon him as the most powerful evidence that he is doing good for the American people. He brought us a robust economy. He brought us energy independence. He secured the border. The lowest working earning wage earners were seeing their wages rise at the highest rate. All this was good for the American people. Racial tensions were minimal, minimal. And of course, I do not believe Donald Trump has a racist bone in his body. Not a single racist bone in his body. No figure in American political history has been as vilified. And no figure in American history has remained as robust. His Achilles heel now appears to me to be what Ivanka has tweeted, to wit, that his protestations about development of the vaccine at warp speed were untrue, that he was capitalizing on something that he would appear to have known was coming in advance, and that he has played the carnival barker here regarding getting the vax. I have been so worried. How many times have I reported Donald Trump needs to repudiate the vax? Many of us have been seriously concerned that he had not done that. Well, maybe now we see the reason why. It would blow apart the whole warp speed narrative, potentially. He's just got too much invested. But this is tragic, tragic. This guy, in my opinion, has done more for America than any other politician since the assassination of JFK. More than any other since they whacked JFK. And for reasons that are strikingly comparable, I would not be surprised if they were to try to whack Donald Trump. In fact, I know I've had reports of a dozen efforts to assassinate DJT. A dozen. One of which was with a drone firing inside Mar-a-Lago into his bedroom, where had they not replaced the glass of that particular bedroom with bulletproof glass, he would have been killed. He would be dead already. I mean, it's just stunning. I regard Donald Trump as a great American hero. But this, it appears to me, is a potential deadly dart. And how politically. And we know the devastating effect. Here we have, here's another report. Fauci lied, children died. Secret CDC report confirms nearly 120,000 youngsters died suddenly in the USA by October 2022 following the rollout of the COVID vax. Let me say, just before coming on, I was watching a video in a whole series of exposing the cabal taking place here about death, people dying suddenly, which I'm just having put up on my BitChute channel, Jim Petzer. This is a very good report about the massiveness and the role of graphene oxide, which is one of the most peculiar substances ever found on Earth, where it's self-replicating, multiplies itself, especially under frequencies of 5G. And there are many reports here that you're going to find profoundly disturbing. I urge you to go to my BitChute channel, Jim Petzer, and watch this. It will be the most recent posting on my video blog. Meanwhile, the expose reports, January 17th. Time and time again throughout 2021, Anthony Fauci stood at the podium, the bright lights blinding him as he faced the nation with a steady hand, held up a vial of the Pfizer vax, promising it would be the key to protecting America and his children from the deadly COVID disease supposedly ravaging the country. Now, just imagine the evil involved here in encouraging parents to have their children vaxxed with something that you know is likely to kill them or maim them permanently for life. That is sadistic. That is cruel. That is evil beyond belief. Little did the public know, the truth about the COVID vaccine safety had been buried deep within Fauci's own lies and deceit in confidential U.S. government and Pfizer docs. Fauci used propaganda, lies, and manipulation to coerce parents into getting their children vaccinated. But the weight of lives lost has come crashing down upon him and the nation, as a secret CDC report has revealed that nearly 500,000 children and young adults died within a year of his fateful announcement, with over 180,000 of those deaths suspected to be due to the COVID-19 vaccine's dangerous side effects. The CDC report should spark widespread outrage and be on the front page of every single major newspaper, but instead, it has been and will continue to be met with a deafening silence. Despite the staggering toll, the report will be buried and swept under the carpet. The mainstream media consumed with working overtime to distract the public with propaganda on the war in Ukraine, alleged climate change threats, and the cost of living crisis, has paid and will pay no attention to the devastating consequences of Tony the Rat Fauci's deception. The public will continue to be kept in the dark. The U.S. government will move quickly to cover up its own involvement, with Fauci quietly announcing his retirement to facilitate the cover-up. It's all business as usual, just another day at the office. But it's also a shocking failure of transparency and accountability. And the people of the United States should be forever haunted by the lives lost due to the COVID vax scandal. Compared to other countries, the U.S. government has been terrible at publishing relevant and up-to-date data, allowing us to analyze the consequences of rolling out the COVID vax. However, we finally managed to stumble upon it thanks to an institution known as the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OEC, an intergovernmental organization with 38 member countries, founded in 1961 to stimulate economic progress and world trade. And for some reason, they host a wealth of data on excess deaths. You can find it yourself here. And this article has been published on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. They have a lot of charts. They show what's happening. Stunning excess deaths. Nearly 500,000 people aged 0 to 44 have sadly died since week 51 of 2020, which has resulted in an astounding 117,719 excess deaths against the 2015-2019 five-year average. The average life expectancy in the U.S. as of 2020 was 77.28 years. If we are to believe the official narrative that COVID is a deadly disease, then we could perhaps agree that 231,987 children and young adults up to the age of 44 dying in 2020, resulting in 40,365 excess deaths, was an unfortunate consequence of this disease, the pandemic. But if we are to believe the official narrative that COVID injections are safe and effective, how can one explain the further increase in deaths among children and young in the 2021 and 2022? Because we know millions of Americans were coerced into getting the vax, and we know millions of parents were coerced into forcing their children to get the same injections. The answer lies in the fact that the official narrative is an outright lie. The COVID-19 vaccines are neither safe nor effective. The data provided by the CDC, which have been incredibly hard to find, only gives us clues to this being the case with so many deaths among young Americans. But further data published by the UK government confirms it. In every single month since the beginning of 2022, partially vaccinated and double vaccinated 18 to 39-year-olds have been more likely to die than unvaccinated 18 to 39-year-olds. Triple vaccinated 18 to 39-year-olds, however, had a mortality rate that has worsened by the month following the mass booster campaign that occurred in the UK in December of 2021. Wow. In January, triple-vaxxed 18 to 39-year-olds were ever so slightly less likely to die than unvaxxed, with a mortality rate of 29.8 per 100,000 among the unvaxxed and 28.1 per 100,000 among the triple-vaxxed, but it changed from February afterwards. In Feb, triple-vaxxed 18 to 39-year-olds were 27% more likely to die than unvaccinated in the same age group, Things got even worse for the triple vaxxed in May of 2022. 18 to 39-year-olds were now 52% more likely to die than unvaxxed. The worst figures so far among the partially vaccinated, with May seeing partly vaccinated 18 to 39-year-olds 202% more likely to die than unvaccinated 18 to 39-year-olds. This is simply stunning stuff. According to the UK government's own data, thus, double vaccinated children are 1,422%, 15.22 times more likely to die of any cause than unvaccinated children, while triple vaccinated children are 4,423%, 45.23 times more likely to die of any cause than unvaccinated children. And that's because it weakens the immune system. The figures provided by the Office for National Statistics and both age standardized and rates per 100,000 is definitive proof that the COVID injection increased a person's risk of dying. This means the COVID vax has been and is continuing to kill people. This is why it should come as no surprise to find that a secret CDC report confirms 500,000 American children and young adults have died following a COVID vax rollout, resulting in nearly 118,000 excess deaths against the five-year average. If happy endings existed in the real world, then this nightmare would end with Fauci sitting alone in his prison cell, the weight of his action weighing heavily on his mind, not being able to do anything but think of the innocent lives lost because of his deceit. Fat chance. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice.
anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Just to tie off the loose ends from the last story, if happy endings existed in the real world, then this nightmare would end with Dr. Anthony Fauci sitting alone in his prison cell, the weight of his action weighing heavily on his mind, not being able to do anything but think of the innocent lives lost because of his deceit. But he has been hailed as a hero, even as a savior, doing nothing more when he is nothing more than a monster who sacrificed the safety and lives of America's children for his own ambition and greed. He may have even thought he was doing the right thing. If you repeat a lie often enough, then eventually you may come to believe it. But in the end, his actions had dire consequences for the nation, and in time, hopefully, for his own soul. I just say this was a monster elaborate hoax that's been long in the planning. I think much longer than 2016. And what distresses me is a possibility that Donald Trump was complicit here, which would reinforce those who characterize him as a carnival barker. I don't want that to turn out to be the case, but I must say the weight of the evidence now, given Ivanka's tweet of way back when and Moderna's implied confirmation that Trump has a real vax problem, and it's not at all obvious to me how he's going to be able to deal with it or work his way out. Because the public is becoming increasingly aware of the damage, the threat, the risks of the vax. Horrific. Simply horrific. Meanwhile, there is one, and in my opinion, only one, television commentator who's talking about the real issues facing the country today in a candid, forthright, clear, strong voice, and that is, it'll come as no surprise, Tucker Carlson. So I have here one of Tucker's latest reports on the State of the Union. Listen carefully what Tucker has to say.
And tonight, if you're a normal person, it's a pretty weird experience watching Joe Biden's presidency get euthanized by his own party. On one hand, there's an undeniable thrill to it. You have to admit that. Biden is the most destructive president in American history. More things have broken under his watch than under any other president. Joe Biden deserves to be driven from office and disgraced. But for this, breaking federal classification rules, some of the stupidest and most dishonest laws Congress has ever passed. It's like arresting El Chapo for expired plates. It's missing the point. But it looks like that's what's going to happen. It seems like every day when a Biden's lawyer shows up with more sheaves of classified documents, like a dog who's found another dead chipmunk under the house. This bunch was in his office at Penn, the one paid for by the Communist Party of China. These were found next to his sad little midlife crisis sports car in a garage in Delaware, and so on. You keep waiting for the White House physician to announce another document trove has been discovered after a routine colonoscopy. It could happen, because at this point you know exactly where this story is heading. Permanent Washington does not want Joe Biden to run for president again. This is how they're sending that message. Even CNN has decided to become interested in Joe Biden's misdeeds 2 years into his presidency. They're doing segments on how classification laws protect this country from its mortal enemies like Russia. So you know for certain the order has gone out. Biden is done. What a missed opportunity this is. If you're looking for crimes that Joe Biden has committed, there is a very long list. Our country is being invaded. The world is on the brink of nuclear war. American cities have become slums. Our economy is in shambles. Even our airplanes no longer take off on time. It's a disaster, and Joe Biden and his staff have a hand in all of it. In a country with a functioning government, Joe Biden would have been impeached before the first million illegal aliens crossed over our southern border. But no one did anything to stop it. So now they're arriving at the rate of 250,000 a month. Watch.
Customs and Border Protection sources exclusively tell Fox News more than 250,000 migrants were encountered at the border in the month of December, about as many people living in Scottsdale, Arizona, making it the highest month ever on record. In Eagle Pass, Texas, the migrant surge continues. Local Kinney County rancher Pam Schott had a harrowing experience with migrants on her property.
And I looked out the back and I could see three illegals walking up to the house. I had gotten a gun, which is an AR-15. I asked them, I said, please, you know, stop, go away. And had the gun in my hands, and they, you know, just kind of looked at me and kind of smiled. And I was like, Otto, and just go away. And they refused to do so.
They're on the other side of the glass, trying to get in and not backing down.
Even though I have a high, powerful rifle in my arms, they are not backing down. That was scary.
A rifle Joe Biden would like to take away from her. So that, writ large, is the biggest story of our lifetimes. It is the one thing Joe Biden has done that cannot be undone. Our great-grandchildren are going to live with the consequences of this. But you never know it from watching most of the news. There was an effective media blackout on Joe Biden's immigration policies and on their downstream effects on America. There are too many strangers pouring in at once, and as a result, the country is becoming chaotic. Here's a rare television news piece on what happened when officials in New York decided to house some of Joe Biden's illegal aliens in a local hotel.
An employee there says that migrants have made an absolute mess of the place. You're standing in front of it. Is that true?
Yeah, well, what we're hearing from that employee is that the hotel is completely overrun. He says, you know, of course, some people just looking for that better life, but as a result, the hotel is a mess, and he fears for his safety.
We don't have any guests anymore. They sold the entire hotel from the fourth floor to the 28th floor. It's all migrants. Mm-hmm. So we got people who are getting drunk, using marijuana. They are punching and beating their wives or their girlfriends.
Wow.
We have teenagers running around wild around the hotel, opening the fire exit doors and doing what teenagers do in the stairways, and it's a mess.
It's a mess, he said. Of course it is. The whole country is a mess because Joe Biden has ignored immigration laws passed by the Congress. That is a crime, and it has killed huge numbers of Americans, hundreds of thousands dead from narcotics.
Fentanyl has changed the entire game here in San Francisco. You can't buy heroin out here anymore. Nobody sells heroin and nobody uses heroin. Everybody has transitioned over to fentanyl.
The fentanyl is the most dangerous drug to ever hit the streets of the United States in history.
Fentanyl has killed more than 70,000 Americans in 12 months. Here in San Francisco, it's the dominant drug. It's responsible for 3/4 of drug overdoses, brazen drug dealing, and rampant drug use. In the shadow of City Hall, the same City Hall residents say actively enable the fentanyl crisis.
All of it, every gram, came over an open border. So what's notable as a political matter is that every one of these disasters, the fentanyl epidemic, the chaos and crime in our cities, the invasion underway through Texas, Arizona, and California, all of those deeply concern Americans. We're not guessing at that. Polls show it very clearly. By contrast, how many voters do you think are lying awake right now worrying that public officials might violate some obscure federal classification law? None. Not a single person. No one outside Washington cares or even understands the issue. And yet, it is classified documents, not our open borders, that the Justice Department is punishing Joe Biden for. Why is that? What's going on here? Well, it's simple. Washington is protecting itself. Joe Biden alone is responsible for this crime. He alone took home classified documents. He didn't have help in doing that. But allowing the country to be invaded, that's not something you can do by yourself. So if Biden were to be taken down for opening the southern border, a lot of other people would go with him. He had a lot of accomplices. Permanent Washington doesn't want that. And ultimately, and here's the point, permanent Washington is in charge. It's not the democracy you imagine. We're seeing that now. So if you want to understand, if you really want to understand how the American government actually works at the highest levels, and if you want to know why they don't teach history anymore, one thing you should know is that the most popular president in American history was Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon. Yet somehow, without a single vote being cast by a single American voter, Richard Nixon was kicked out of office and replaced by the only unelected president in American history. So we went from the most popular president to a president nobody voted for. Wait a minute, you may ask. Why didn't I know that? Wasn't Richard Nixon a criminal? Wasn't he despised by all decent people? No, he wasn't. In fact, if any president could claim to be the people's choice, it was Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon was reelected in 1972 by the largest margin of the popular vote ever recorded before or since. Nixon got 17 million more votes than his opponent. Less than 2 years later, he was gone. He was forced to resign. And in his place, an obedient servant of the federal agencies called Gerald Ford took over the White House. How did that happen? Well, it's a long story, but here are the highlights, and they tell you a lot. Richard Nixon believed that elements in the federal bureaucracy were working to undermine the American system of government and had been doing that for a long time. He often said that. He was absolutely right. On June 23, 1972, Nixon met with the then CIA director, Richard Helms, at the White House. During the conversation, which thankfully was tape recorded, Nixon suggested he knew, quote, who shot John, meaning President John F. Kennedy. Nixon further implied that the CIA was directly involved in Kennedy's assassination, which we now know it was. Helms' telling response? Total silence. But for Nixon, it didn't matter because it was already over. 4 days before, on June 19th, the Washington Post had published the first of many stories about a break-in at the Watergate office. Unbeknownst to Nixon and unreported by the Washington Post, 4 of the 5 burglars worked for the CIA. The first of many dishonest Watergate stories was written by a 29-year-old Metro reporter called Bob Woodward. Who exactly was Bob Woodward? Well, he wasn't a journalist. Bob Woodward had no ground whatsoever in the news business. Instead, Bob Woodward came directly from the classified areas of the federal government. Shortly before Watergate, Woodward was a naval officer at the Pentagon. He had a top secret clearance. He worked regularly with the intel agencies. At times, Woodward was even detailed to the Nixon White House, where he interacted with Richard Nixon's top aides. Soon after leaving the Navy, for reasons that have never been clear, Woodward was hired by the most powerful news outlet in Washington and assigned the biggest story in the country. And just to make it crystal clear what was actually happening, Woodward's main source for his Watergate series was the deputy director of the FBI, Mark Felt. And Mark Felt ran, and we're not making this up, the FBI's COINTELPRO program, which was designed to secretly discredit political actors the federal agencies wanted to destroy, people like Richard Nixon. And at the same time, those same agencies were also working to take down Nixon's elected vice president, Spiro Agnew. In the fall of 1973, Agnew was indicted for tax evasion and forced to resign. His replacement was a colorless congressman from Grand Rapids called Gerald Ford. What was Ford's qualification for the job? Well, he had served on the Warren Commission, which absolved the CIA of responsibility for President Kennedy's murder. Nixon was strong-armed into accepting Gerald Ford by Democrats in Congress. Quote, "We gave Nixon no choice but Ford," Speaker of the House Carl Albert later boasted. 8 months later, Gerald Ford of the Warren Commission was the president of the United States. See how that works? So those are the facts, not speculation. All of that actually happened. None of it's secret. Most of it actually is on Wikipedia. But no mainstream news organization has ever told that story. It's so obvious, yet it's intentionally ignored. And as a result, permanent Washington remains in charge of our political system. Unelected lifers in the federal agencies make the biggest decisions in American government and crush anyone who tries to rein them in. And in the process, our democracy becomes a joke. Now, you may have noticed that the very first person in the Trump administration the agencies went after was General Michael Flynn. Why Flynn? Because Mike Flynn was a career Army intel officer who ran the Defense Intelligence Agency. In other words, Mike Flynn knew exactly how the system worked, and as a result, he was capable of fighting back. 4 days after Donald Trump's inauguration, the FBI lured Mike Flynn into a meeting without his lawyer, concocted a series of fake crimes, and forced him to resign. So that's how things actually work in Washington. Let's stop lying about it. Joe Biden, meanwhile, whooped like a hyena when the Justice Department destroyed Mike Flynn. So there is, we have to say, a certain perverse justice in watching something very similar happen to Joe Biden himself 6 years later. Joe Biden does not deserve our sympathy. He's being shafted, but don't weep for him. And yet the rest of us do deserve a better system, an actual democracy. When people nobody voted for run everything, you are not living in a free country.
That may be among the most brilliant presentation Tucker's ever given. I'm a huge fan, and you can see well why. He's obviously getting his feet wet and learning more about conspiracies and how the country is really run. He seemed to be far beyond the curve regarding the fake school shootings, such as Columbine, Sandy Hook, Parkland. You know, not to mention Orlando, Las Vegas, Charlottesville, and all that, which I've documented in spades through the collaborative research where I bring together experts to sort out what really happened, which has led to my being the most banned author in America, with 6 of my books banned by Amazon.com, and that's no coincidence. I'm convinced that's to do with the government using these private agencies to censor, just as they have Twitter and YouTube and Facebook. We know in spades they have not hesitated to use Amazon to the same effect. And if I have the financial resources to carry it forward, I'm going to bring a lawsuit against Amazon.com for the improper censorship of my books. It would be an important case. I have an attorney whom I've enlisted to carry it forward. But unfortunately, sad to say, I don't have the money. I am being squeezed. They're garnishing my accounts. I think it's all completely improper, but the government has the power to do any damn thing it wants. When you have a Supreme Court case about the viability of the Seventh Amendment, and whether or not it applies in all 50 states. When you have a case of a magnitude, the state of the nation declares this may be the single most important issue to come before the Supreme Court in our lifetime, and the Supreme Court declines to hear it. And I've been told it was because they were worried that if the court were to take it up, it would undo all of the propaganda, all the brainwashing effects from the Alex Jones trials, where I myself sought to personally intervene in all 3 of those trials to point out there's never been a judicial determination that anybody died at Sandy Hook. But I was not only opposed by the fake Sandy Hook clearance, which came as no surprise, I was also opposed by Alex Jones and his attorneys, which dumbfounded me. But there it is. Similar with the Remington case, I sought to intervene. I was not only opposed by the fake clearance, I was opposed by Remington. The insurance companies would rather shell out $73 million as an investment, it appears to me, anticipating that laws requiring insuring weapons is going to render them hundreds of billions. So $73 million was a minus investment toward that outcome. So they let it go, even though there's been no case in the United States related to Sandy Hook that's been decided on its merits. No case has gone to the jury, not one, not even mine, has gone to a jury. It's been by assumption, it's been by stipulation, it's been by default. In the case of Alex Jones, the default, because he allegedly didn't satisfy a discovery demand, even though Robert Barnes is a very savvy attorney, has been in the courtroom, spoke with participants. Nobody knew, had any idea what in the world Alex Jones had failed to provide, because they had tens of thousands of pages, they had every video he'd ever done. And Alex Jones, I'm telling you, this was just being used for propagandistic purposes in order to convince the American people that if you question a media-supported narrative, no matter how false, no matter how irresponsible, no matter how contrived, this is what can happen to you. You could have a $1 billion judgment for expressing an opinion. And this is in the United States of America? This is in the USA Today, a $1 billion fine for expressing an opinion? I mean, good God. I served as a commissioned officer in the United States Marine Corps. I was proud to serve my nation. I took an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And what has become of our country? It's just a shallow shell of a once great nation. It's now a third world country. Our elections are all rigged. We have migrants flooding the border. They're wreaking destruction. I think it's absurd that they were put up in a hotel, but it was presumably to save money. These are people who may not be used to flush toilets, for God's sake, put up in a hotel. And of course, they've ransacked the hotel. Of course, of course. And this is Biden who's violating federal laws about migration, and nobody's doing a damn thing about it. Nancy Pelosi instrumental here in gutting the United States. I'm not just talking about in a small way. I'm talking about the massive destruction of this nation right to its core. Changing the composition, the demographics of the nation. We have around 330 million occupants in the United States these days. About 30 million were already illegals. Their plan is to bring in 100 million. And at the same time they're bringing them in, the rest of the population have been decimated by the vax, the sterility, the miscarriages occurring at an astounding rate. And guess what? Biden is not requiring any of those migrants to take the vax. Why? Because it would affect their reproduction. They're going to come in, they're going to reproduce like rabbits. Meanwhile, the white population and other elements are going to be diminishing in their reproductive capacity through the mass vaccination program. If you're not dead, you're sterile. That's what's going on in the United States today. It originated back in the 1930s, the idea of flooding Western countries with migrants in Europe, from Africa, in the U.S., from South America. I mean, it's the Kalergi plan going full speed ahead, where every economist in the world knows you cannot combine a welfare state that provides basic social services with open borders, because the whole world is going to want to come in. Can the United States taxpayers support the whole world? No. Can the United States taxpayers support the number of migrants being flooded in to the country today? No. And it's all deliberate. It is all deliberate. And if you're not pissed off, you're just not understanding what the hell's going on before your very eyes. This is just as disgusting as it gets. This is the highest form of treason. And Joe Biden, not even the real Joe, this is a complete fake. I was sent the other day another photograph that's supposed to be Biden. It was different than the guy we're seeing in the White House. I have a friend who says they have a dozen Biden body doubles, a dozen. One noticed that, a human being tends to blink like maybe 19 times a minute. This Biden doesn't blink. Something very, very strange about that. But the fact is, we even have evidence that some of these are wearing latex masks, very sophisticated masks, to make them look like Joe Biden. And down where the mask reaches their skin, you can actually see it's kind of shagged. I mean, you can see very clearly it's a sophisticated mask. And we've long known they have this voice box that can imitate anyone's voice. They can get the voice exactly right. And let me just say, we know this isn't the real Joe, who appears to have died in 2017. I've done many reports about this. They have a different size and shape of skull, but more obviously, look at the facial features. Joe Biden, the real guy, had a very expressive face. He was constantly grinning, an ear-to-ear, shit-eating grin. Joe Biden, all the time. This guy has no expression and no grin. Sad to say, inviting your calls after the break.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it?
that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, during the break, I fielded a most interesting phone call about the developing situation in Illinois, where the governor Pritzker is trying to confiscate 150 types of rifles and guns. I mean, it's outrageous. And where we have, last count, 57 sheriffs declaring they're not going to enforce this order because it's unconstitutional, about which there's no doubt they are correct. And as I have many times observed in the past, the problem with these unconstitutional orders, whether they're coming from the president of the United States or the governor of Illinois, is that it takes typically months, even years, to get through the legal process to have a final determination, typically before the Supreme Court. So all the mischief occurs in the meanwhile when they're implementing blatantly unconstitutional laws. This is blatantly unconstitutional. So the governor, after initially suggesting he was going to get rid of the sheriffs, ignoring the fact that they're not appointees, but that they're elected by the people, declared that he's going to use the state police, the Illinois state police, what, to depose the sheriffs? One of the fascinating aspects of the sheriffs is that they have the right to deputize citizens, to create deputy sheriffs in large numbers. Potentially, of course, the governor technically is in charge of the National Guard. But I'm telling you, it looks to me like if civil war is going to break out in the United States, it's going to happen right here in Illinois. Unsurprising in a way. Barack Obama was from Illinois. We've had a lot of miscreants from Illinois. And we got a governor who's a complete disgrace in Illinois, who's willing to violate our laws. I'm told that when the issue arose of whether the Illinois National Guard would be willing to fire on Illinois citizens, one of the members of the Guard asked his commanding officer, "Then where will we sleep?" Because the people aren't going to take kindly the National Guard firing on citizens of the United States. And it appears to me, therefore, all hell is about to break out right in the state of Illinois. Keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, listen, pay attention. This could be a pivotal development in the recent history of the United States. The founding fathers had good reason for the Second Amendment. They wanted every one of us to be a citizen soldier, could come to the aid of the nation if we confront a foreign threat. After all, remember, we defeated the British at Lexington and Concord because we had citizen soldiers who were armed. And when there are those in the Democrat Party say, "Oh, well, but the Founding Fathers weren't thinking about military-style weapons," on the contrary, the Founding Fathers were thinking about military weapons because they were talking about a militia, meaning an armed citizenry that could come to the aid of the nation, or, in the alternative, overthrow a despotic and tyrannical government, and that's why they want to take our guns. I mean, they're not killing us in vast number by the vax. They want to totally subjugate us and turn us into slaves in perpetuity. Don't have any doubt. Don't have any illusion about it. And the Democrats who are going along with this are stupid, gullible saps, naive beyond the words, or simply criminally complicit, violative of the Constitution, and ignorant beyond words. And I'm sorry to say there are a lot of them. I have opened a phone line, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452, unsurprisingly. I have Brian on the line. Brian, give us your thoughts.
Well, I just wanted to tell you, I read one of the most amazing things on the internet the other day, and it would be something worthwhile looking at because it really kind of shows how far back all this goes. And it was by a guy named Jason Kristoff, and he showed the, you know, when you get the prescription, you get that stylized R with an X, okay, on the end of the R, you know what I'm talking about with any prescription you get?
Sure, of
course.
Well,
that's actually, the I is the eye of Horus, and the X on the end is to signify your death. This comes out of ancient Egypt. And then he talked about how, you know, cartoon characters, when you see them dead, you'll see two X's where their eyes are to signify they're dead. And he talked about the fact there were these ancient priests in Egypt that became really good, well-versed in poisoning people. And the reason they did that was your brain takes on a defensive stance when you've been poisoned and you're more obedient and compliant. It's the key to human farming. And that pharmacy actually comes from the Greek word pharmakia, and it means to poison. And the reason when you go to the doctor, they're in these white lab coats, it's the slaughtering a human. It's like a symbolic of you being farmed and murdered by the medical.
This is what gives conspiracy theorists a bad name. Look, I mean, you know, there may be this historical entanglements, but really, no one's going to buy Brian.
Even if
what you're saying is true, the idea of casting the medical establishment as dedicated to killing people is ridiculous on its face. Now, they are killing people. They are killing people, but to suggest that's a history of medicine is, in my opinion, not just far-fetched, but really discrediting of those of us who are doing serious research to expose what the hell is going on. So, you know, I'm not enchanted by this. Go ahead.
Oh, it was good. Well, it went on about media, where the word media and medical comes from, and a region in Iran, the Medes region, and they were good at propaganda. I mean, it was really excellent, and I just felt that there was a lot of truth there, and today we're seeing it because the medical establishment is trying to kill us, okay? I mean, if you bring that article up, and it shows that R, and it goes into the eye of Horus, and Anubis, and why he's at the Denver airport, because that's the god of death, and the G in Freemasonry stands for Ganonim, which is that priest class that figured out how to farm humans, and I mean, it to me, it just fits everything, so I would highly recommend that article.
And where does one find this article, Brian?
Prepareforchange.net.
Prepareforchange.net. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for.
That's what I had.
Yeah. Good, Brian. Thank you. I want to ask Mitchell, who's uncovered a Twitter of Zero Hedge, as a report that in Devos are saying the quiet part out loud. Mitchell, please tell us about this report, this Twitter piece about Devos. Mitchell, are you there?
There we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, it's the New World Order. They don't hide who they are and, you know, what they do. And so you know, here's a short clip.
Go ahead and play it if you want.
Here at WEF, I believe we're discussing, there's a lot of discussion about what the new world order will be, or how, even in the context of our new Helsinki, how do we work towards that new normative international order that allows us to address our differences and disputes as the civilized world? And I believe perhaps we are at the moment in such a hyper-partisan, hyper-polarized time that we're not going to be able to form that new Helsinki today. But I hope going forward, we are able to do, I mean, we must form and improve our normative and international institutional order internationally so that we can address these complaints. I hope this time round, once we're building this new world order or new rules-based order, the voice of the global South and the developing world is included.
Okay, well, there you go. Straight from the World Economic Forum. Yeah. They're going to plan it. Even if they can't get it right now, they're going to plan it so they can get it in the future.
Get exactly what?
Control what of the world.
Yeah, control of the world. Yes. I don't think any of us have been under any illusion, but I agree with you that they are becoming increasingly bold about simply asserting out loud what's going on. I'd welcome your thoughts about what's going on, for example, in Illinois, Mitchell. You may have been aware of this. You may even be discussing it on your own show. Do you have further thoughts?
Well, you know, it is definitely, you know, a state power beef, you know, between the sheriffs and the constitutional sheriffs and, you know, the state police. And of course, that comes from the political system, where the state police and gets their power from, and the Constitution is where the sheriffs actually is the basis of their power, you know, to arrest and to work for the benefit of the community. You know, it's an ongoing struggle everywhere to maintain the individual powers or the individuality of all of our departments within government. And, you know, this is just another effort to, you know, essentially take over another part of government where there should be and there are, you know, checks and balances. However, you know, the government, because it has been so corrupted, is literally erasing those checks and balances. And this is just one of the major ones that they have to get out of the way, and particularly if they want to have some kind of federal national police force, because that's essentially what the sheriffs are. So they're going to have to sweep something aside to do that.
Well, in Connecticut, it was striking they got rid of their sheriffs because they have that role of upholding the Constitution. It may be the last line of defense we have for lawful government in America, given the corruption of every other institution, all of our law enforcement, FBI, Department of Justice, even, sad to say, the judicial system, right up to the Supreme Court. I'm just floored by all of this, what's going on with the Supreme Court. I think it's a serious question now whether Donald Trump, who has posed the greatest threat to the senior executive service, the hardcore Tucker was addressing, the establishment bureaucracy in Washington, D.C., whether he can remain viable in light of this expose about his prior engagement with Moderna to develop an mRNA vax before we even had the first reported case of COVID. Can he weather this storm, Mitchell? Can't he remain viable? In my opinion, he's done so much good, notwithstanding, you know, warts and all. I mean, obviously, I condemn him for taking out Soleimani and for other stupid stuff he's done to kiss Israel's ass. Not that any other American politician has done particularly better, save for JFK. And we know where that got him. Tell us, Mitchell, what are your thoughts about this dilemma involving.
Gosh bless. You know, it all comes down to psychology. You know, is Trump, is Trump man enough, or is Trump connected to himself enough to admit that, you know, he made a mistake when he erred when he trusted the scientists on the COVID, all of the COVID stuff, and Bill Gates that effectively, you know, got Trump to not appoint a committee to investigate as RFK Jr. wanted to. In fact, it's my assertion that, you know, a good good team to run for president as independents would be Trump with Robert Kennedy Jr. as vice president.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. They seem to have sabotaged his vocal cords so he wouldn't be a viable political candidate. I'm talking about RFK Jr.
Absolutely.
It happened a long, long, long time ago. I don't know all the details, but it appears that was what happened. And your idea of him running with Trump is fascinating. I might even like that better than Trump running with Tulsi, which I have thought would be the case. He can't run with DeSantis unless one of them were to change residence from Florida, since the Constitution precludes having candidates for president and vice president both from the same state. Obviously, DeSantis, the governor, could not change his residence from Florida, but Trump could easily change his residence back to New York. Absent that, he's not going to be running with DeSantis. There are signs DeSantis might want to challenge him. I think of all the arguments or issues DeSantis could raise, it would be this vax thing would be by far the most devastating. Otherwise, I think Trump is virtually invulnerable. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree. You know, in a recent poll, Trump was found to stomp DeSantis in a straw poll for the Republican primary. I really think, you know, we have to understand that DeSantis is being pumped by the traditional political powers, you know, the Bush family and the neocons. So, you know, we have to understand that DeSantis and his candidacy is being essentially pushed by the enemies of, you know, the political rebellion by the constitutional patriots that's going on right now. So, yeah, I think there could be a time for DeSantis, but DeSantis is more of a professional politician, and everybody that is wants a career in politics, they have to measure their words. They have to watch whose toes they step on, or they have no future career within the party. And of course, that is how, you know, the silent suppression of dissension happens. So
I think those are all very, very good points, Mitchell. Very good points. All the other stuff, I mean, just one revelation after another of how Trump has been smeared, contrived, manufactured arguments against him. And there have been, actually, to the best of my knowledge, a dozen different attempts to take him out. So the idea that the former commissioner of the police in New York City is worried about the attempting assassination of Trump, I mean, it's well known. But he has really excellent bodyguards, many of whom are former NY city cops. So, I mean, I'm just, it's so brutal. American politics has become so corrupt. The Democratic Party has just sold us out, Mitchell. Sold us out. I'm just appalled. I mean, most of my life, I regarded myself as a Democrat in the JFK-FDR tradition because I believe in the social safety network, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment insurance, workman's compensation programs that have actually helped the American people. But this idea of opening the floodgates, bringing in 100 million migrants and giving them a red carpet and putting them up in hotels and not requiring them even to be, you know, of course, I don't think anyone should be vaxxed, but look how obvious it is when the vax induces sterility that they're vaxxing the American citizens and not vaxxing the migrants. Could it be more obvious, Mitchell?
No. The disrespect for the American people by the U.S. government knows no bounds, Jim. I don't know if you're aware, but has it just been introduced or subject that they want to tax veterans' disability checks now?
Jesus Christ!
I just saw that a little bit during the show, actually, earlier. But, yeah. Yeah, that's part of the new, some of the new plans they have to raise money. So, and of course, if you're not aware that the VA is in the process of restructuring its disability levels, its percentages, its requirements, and you know, the VA is like, well, if we treat it and you're better, it's nothing. You're okay. You don't get it. You know, even if you have a half a kidney, or you know, I mean, if they give you a prosthesis, maybe they'll give you 10% per limb. I don't know. It's maddening, you know, this drive to absolve government of its legitimate responsibility so it can essentially fund never-ending wars in foreign countries. But you know, they got a $2.8 billion package that they're preparing for Ukraine right now.
Oh, God.
I didn't know if you were aware of that. But
I'm not.
Yeah, that's...
I think Russia is going to crush Ukraine in short order now. I think Putin's sick of it. He's got under a lot of pressure to get it done. He's got the ability to get it done. It's going to be done. And I fear for the West if we attempt to stop Russia, because it ain't going to work out well for us or for the world in general, actually, all things considered.
Yeah, well, it certainly isn't looking pretty. That's what I would.
You know, some of the NATO nations have sent so much equipment to Ukraine that they can't even defend themselves. They don't have enough to defend themselves. That's happening, in my opinion, right here in the United States. And of course, vaccine our troops is just a calamitous, unless you want to vitiate the American ability to maintain its own national defense. And I'm convinced that was the objective, to make us, you know, weak, to make us defenseless, to deprive us of even the ability to marshal our own armed forces. And a friend and I were discussing of late about the problem that the military is having reading its recruitment goals, where they've had to lower their standards, and now they're taking people really who are in need of remedial education, who have criminal offenses and the like. This is pathetic. When they started taking down all the statues, the monuments to, you know, Southern generals in New Orleans and Virginia, all over the place, they were really eradicating the great tradition of the United States of reconciliation and reconstruction, of honoring and recognizing the military heroes of both sides. But, you know, the American military is very heavily populated with Southern boys, and Southern boys who see what's going on with a woke military could not want anything to do with it. So the military, by going woke, has really slit its own throat, in my opinion. And there's no way you can compensate for this. You can't have all these misfits and uneducated retards in the military, give them weapons, and expect to be able to marshal a formidable military force. It's a joke. A joke.
Well, hey, Jim, here's one for you. We got about 2 minutes left, but I wanted to put this in here. If you remember, in early 2018, there were articles circulating how the German military is under-equipped and their tanks and what they have doesn't even work now, along with the ships and their naval vessels. They were literally out of date and inoperable, most of their equipment. So, I don't see how anybody can fight a legitimate war. And it leads directly to one thing, and that's tactical nuclear weapons, which translate directly to Brussels, London, New York,
Berlin, right?
Yeah,
Washington, D.C.,
literally,
Chicago.
Yes. It goes worldwide once it starts. So, yeah.
Here today, gone tomorrow, Mitchell.
Unfortunately, brother. Yeah.
I think that's where we're headed. A situation where, as has been observed, after a nuclear war, the living will envy the dead. Mitchell, thanks for all your contributions.
You're welcome, Jim.
There's so much going on so fast. And it appears that, the deep state doesn't want to have anything to do with restoring constitutional government. Trump, of course, has this Schedule F idea, which would enable him to get rid of these embedded federal employees who otherwise are invulnerable to being fired, which is a brilliant, brilliant idea, but it reinforces their desire to never allow him to return to office. Yeah. Thank you all for being here. Spend as much time as you can with your friends and loved ones over the weekend, because we do not know how much time we have left. Back Monday. See you then.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and